Luke chapter 20, verses 19 through 26. Our study today is on the question about taxes. You might want to know that for yourself, but it is interesting how Jesus answered the question. Remember, we're in this portion of Scripture that is presenting to us the Lord's last week here on the earth. He rode into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. And during that week, he spent time in the temple area teaching, continually teaching, as we saw in verse 1 of this chapter, continually teaching and proclaiming the good news of the gospel. But during that week, he met opposition, resistance. The religious leaders were becoming even more angry over his teaching, over his following. Last week we spent time in the first 18 verses, and we'll review that in a moment, but we want to read verses 19 through 26 for this morning. Verse 19 says, "And the chief priests and the scribes sought to lay hands on him at the same hour." That is, at the very hour or same hour that he spoke in verses 9 through 18 that we took last week. "And they feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken this parable against them." Literally in the Greek, it's pros autos, which means toward them, that it was directed right at them. Verse 20, "And they sent spies after having watched him closely." These spies were pretending themselves to be righteous in order that they may seize him at his word or his speech, for or so as to deliver him over to the rule and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, "Teacher," if you have master there, the old King James has the word master, and it has to do with the head teacher is always called master. This is the word didaskale, teacher. "We know that you are speaking and you are teaching rightly, and that you do not receive the face of man or the face of anyone," meaning no partiality, "but you are teaching the way of God upon the basis of truth." Verse 22, "Is it lawful for us to give tax to Caesar or no, or not?" And when he perceived their craftiness, he said to them, "Why do you test me? Give to me a denarius, whose image and inscription does it have?" And when they answered, they said, "Of Caesar." And he said to them, "Give back," that's what the word render means, "give back the things of Caesar to Caesar, and give back the things of God to God." And they were not able, literally did not have the sufficiency, to catch him at his speech before the people, and having marveled over his answer, they became silent. It's a very interesting text, and it wouldn't you know it, that it has the same message as in every question, in every teaching of Jesus. In fact, it seems as though every time we're in the Word tells us about the two realms. We have the physical realm, the material realm, the horizontal realm, the human realm. the physical realm, and then there is the spiritual realm. And all of Jesus' answers, you could see his answers split right down the middle. Because all of the questions that came to Jesus in resisting him and coming up against him had to do with the application of spiritual things to the physical realm. And Jesus always kept them separate because they are separate. We human beings have a tough time separating between the physical realm and the spiritual. And many times we combine them together. We don't know the difference between the flesh and the spirit. We don't know the difference between emotional energy and spiritual energy. And that's only natural and only normal. Because we're just human and we don't know. And are not able to discern unless God's Spirit tells us. In verse 1 of this chapter, it began by telling us that Jesus' custom in the last week while he was in Jerusalem, before he was crucified, during the feast of the Passover, that he was continually teaching in the temple and proclaiming the gospel. And they weren't able to do anything because the crowds were hanging on his word. So they began their attack. As we see this morning, it's continuing. They began their attack by asking him, in what authority are you doing these things? And who is the one who has given you this authority? Tell us. Jesus said, well, you tell me something. The baptism of John, was it from men or from heaven? So they got together and reasoned together. They said, now if we should say it was from heaven, then he's going to say, why did you not believe him? But if we should say that it's man-made, his ministry is from man, all the people will stone us because they have been persuaded that John is a prophet. So they came back to Jesus and said, we don't know from where John's ministry is from. And in verse 8, I told you two of my favorite verses, verse 8 and verse 18. Verse 8, Jesus answered and said, then neither do I tell you in what authority I do these things. He was under no obligation to try to, what we call, witness and persuade people to follow him. John 6:44 tells us that when others came against him during his ministry, he says, the reason why you're not able to receive what I have to say is because the Father's not drawing you. End of argument. There is no argument. You're either being drawn to the Lord by the Spirit of God or you're not. There's no argument. In fact, a minister told me right after I received Christ and was saved, he says, Bill, always remember this. If a man is in a room with a barking dog and God wants to save him, he can save him. God saves people in different ways, in miraculous ways. It doesn't come with the persuasion of man. And I've always remembered that. That a barking dog could kick off somebody's thoughts in response to Christ. If that's what God wants to use. Oh, he used a donkey in the Old Testament to talk to somebody. He can use anything that he wants to. And so it isn't our persuasion. But it is interesting how much confidence Jesus had and how he put everything in perspective. He didn't have to answer them. He knew their intentions and their motives. And he knew they answered with a political answer so they would not be caught in their own trap. And as I told you last week, it's always good to be in a position, if you know the answer from God's Word and somebody is arguing with you or resisting, it is always good to be in the role of asking the questions. Let them be the teller. Because as you ask questions, because you already know the answer, as you ask questions, they can get caught in their own response. And then they have to face their own thoughts and their own responses. That's what Jesus did a lot of the time. He'd place himself in a position, even though he was in charge, by asking questions. They thought they were in charge. And he always brought them to their own need. Then verses 9 to 18, Jesus turned to the crowd and he spoke a parable, and in the parable he gave the answer to the question that the leaders were asking him and trying to trap him with. He says, a man went away to a far country. He rented out his land to vine dressers or farmers. And at the time of fruit-bearing season, he sent one of his slaves to collect for the rent, and the rent was a portion of the crops. When they saw the slave, they beat him up and threw him out and sent him away empty. He sent three slaves. All three were beaten and turned away. So he says, the Lord of the vineyard, then he says, I'll send my son, my beloved son. Certainly they'll be receptive to him. But he says, when he sent his beloved son, after they threw him out, they killed him. So Jesus says, what will the master do to these people? He will come and he will destroy these farmers. And he will give his vineyard to others. The word others is someone different. That's us, the Gentiles. And so in verse 18, Jesus said, everyone who has fallen upon this stone, which the builders have rejected, everybody who has fallen on this stone will be broken to pieces. But upon whom this stone should fall, it will grind him to powder. One of the great texts in the Bible. A human being has two choices. You can either voluntarily fall on the rock to be broken in pieces, or you can rebel against it and the rock fall on you and grind you to powder. The only two choices. What a tremendous statement to make. In verse 19 for today, it says that the scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at the same hour as he was talking about the rock. And they were afraid of the people, for they knew that he spoke this parable against them. They just knew it. He didn't answer them directly, he answered the people, but they knew that he was speaking this parable against them. They are the farmers, they are the vine dressers who have rejected God's Son. And they are the ones who will be destroyed, to have the rock fall on them, which made them even angrier. In verse 20 it says that they sent spies after having watched him closely. These spies were pretending themselves to be righteous. They were acting the part. Zahina clause in verse 20 that tells us the purpose, in order that they might catch him at his word or his speech. Motive? So as to deliver him over to the rule and authority of the governor. In Mark chapter 12, verse 13, Mark provides a little more information for us, as he says the Herodians were also in and amongst the chief priests and the scribes. That's an important point to understand the direction of this. Herodians were Jews who were sympathetic towards the Roman government. They're followers of Herod. They're called Herodians. Just as Christians are followers of Christ, Herodians are followers of Herod. That's where the words came from, to denote who that person is following. So the Herodians were there, and they were helping to ask the question. This text in verse 20 tells us the whole intention is to catch him at his word so that they can deliver him to the rule and authority of the governor, the Roman governor, the high official who is governing for Rome in that area. So everything in their question now, they're frustrated in presenting to him, trying to entrap him scripturally or spiritually or religiously. So now the Herodians have joined in, and now they're going to make their approach to Christ and try to trap him politically. Try to get him to say something against the Roman government. They haven't been successful in their approach. So they asked him in verse 21. The question now is in verses 21 and 22. And it really comes in two parts. The first part is the flattery that they give to Jesus. These spies who were pretending themselves to be righteous, they said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are speaking and teaching rightly." Orthos is the Greek word for rightly. Orthodontist, making things straight. You speak and you teach things rightly, and you do not treat people or receive people in partiality or favoritism, and you are teaching the way of God upon the basis of truth. At this point, it would have made me sick. All the nice things that these spies said about Jesus, just to set him up. They were pretending themselves to be part of his followers. The second thing in verse 22 is the direct question. Is it lawful for us to give taxes to Caesar or not? The word for tax, phoron, which is the accusative of phoros, is the annual property taxes that the Jews were made to pay. Telos is the poll tax, which means as you travel from place to place, you pass through these toll booths and you pay for the loads that you're carrying and to travel through. But this is the annual property tax, which all of the taxes were meant to humiliate the Jewish people. Can you imagine living on your own property and the Roman government coming in and saying, "You have to pay us tax to live there"? It's like, wait a minute. It's my property. Why should I have to pay you? It's just a humiliating act and a way for the Roman government to make money to support their government officials being there. Traveling your own streets, and as you pass by the toll booth, you have to pay the tax. That's telos, toll, the toll tax. This is phoros. This is the property tax. The question is it right to pay tax to Caesar? Is it lawful or not? See, there's right in the question, is it really lawful or not? They expect Jesus to speak against Caesar and the Roman government so that they can take those words back to the governor and say he spoke against the Roman government. He's a rebel. He's stirring up trouble so that the Roman government would step in and take care of it. The answer in verses 23 through 25, "And when Jesus perceived their craftiness, he said to them," there are four things that Jesus said in response, the fourth thing being the teaching. The first thing he said, and this is only in the Textus Receptus for the King James, the first thing he says is, "Why do you test me?" It's the same word for temptation in the Bible. Why are you tempting me? Why are you testing me? So right away, he's letting them know that he's on to what their motives are. They're out to test him. to tempt him, to draw him into a trap. The second thing he says in verse 24 is, give to me a denarius. And so a denarius is one day's wage, but it is also a Roman coin, a denarius. And it has the picture of Caesar on it. Very few Jews would be caught with a Roman coin. They'd be unclean. The drachma is the Greek coin, which was prevalent in those days. But Jesus says, does anybody have a denarius? Apparently someone did. Who knows who gave him the coin? Probably those who were trapping him with the question. Since you are Herodians, you're carrying the Roman coin. Give to me a denarius. So somebody gave him this coin. And he asks them, whose image and inscription is on it? Does it have? And when they answered, they said, of Caesar. Genitive case. It's Caesar's image. His inscription is on the coin. Verse 25, the answer and the teaching. And he said to them, give back then, or therefore, to Caesar the things of Caesar, and give to God the things of God. There's two things that he's saying in verse 25. The whole teaching is emphasized on the word image. The word image. You see, the coin has the image of Caesar. So it belongs to Caesar. Even though you might have earned it or exchanged money to get it at a money changer's table, it belongs to Caesar. But give to God what's God's. Now, what is made with God's image on it? We are, you see. People were made in the image of God. So what a fantastic answer he gave. Since Caesar's inscription is on the money and he wants that as his tax or whatever his reason, give it to him. Oh, but it's mine. How can they do this to us? We complain about our taxes and we complain about slavery, but how would you like it if somebody came in and just took just about everything that you had? All your hard earnings, just to humiliate you, just to let you know you're in slavery. I'm going to make sure you don't have enough money to get out of slavery or to cause an insurrection against the Roman government. So I've got so many taxes going, you're paying so much money that you're poor. And every time you pay a tax, you're reminded you're in slavery. Being taken away from you. But it is interesting, Jesus said, if whosoever image is on the coin, that's who it belongs to. But we have been made in the image of God. So give to Caesar what's Caesar's and give to God what's God's. Is it lawful to pay taxes? Yes, give it to him. Got his inscription on it. He owns it. But who owns you? There's a difference between giving your taxes to Caesar and giving your soul to Caesar. He's making the difference. For us, from this teaching came Paul's teaching in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, where Paul says, submit to the higher powers. To submit to those who are in positions in government, institutions. In verse 7 of Romans 13, he says, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. So Paul says, hey, if the government takes 75% of your wages for taxes, give it to them. Oh, but it's my money. God's saying, no, it's not. You're functioning in an economic and monetary system that has been ordained by God, but the spirit behind the whole thing is not God. But He's ordained it to bring criminals to justice. The whole purpose in Romans 13:8 is to owe no man anything except to love one another. Because the human being only has the capacity to serve one master, if I fight, if you're part of the Roman government, you come to me and say, I'm taking 75% of your wages for taxes. Because I make the laws and you're enslaved to me. Now, I can spend the whole rest of my life fighting that. Let's get some Christians together and we'll protest. We'll fight against it. What's my attention and what's my focus? Fighting and protesting. The Lord basically, through Paul in Romans 13:8, is basically saying, don't owe anybody anything. Just get rid of it. Once you pay the tax, it's over. You're free now to follow Christ. Your attention can be on Christ. So there is a command for believers in Romans 13:1 through 7 is just give. If a person's in position of authority in the government, give them the honor due. God has ordained the human institution and the human government system. So give it to them. See, we can't tell the difference. We think that as I pull my dollar bill out and it has someone's image on it and it has U.S. government on it, that it's mine. Jesus says, no, it's just paper money. It just has to do with the horizontal, has to do with the physical system. And where did the money come from to begin with? Came from the government. Well, if they gave you the opportunity to earn money, you know what the opportunity is for. They give us freedom to earn money because the more money we earn, the more they make. Because of the tax. So sure they're going to give us freedom. Because that's more money they make. Work overtime. Sure, go ahead. We get more money. So the tax system is there to support government, whether it's done right or wrong. Doesn't make any difference according to the Scriptures. Just give it. So that your heart can focus on and be in servitude to the Lord and not to man. Now, as far as us and the message of Jesus, give to God the things that are God. We are made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says, and God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the things of the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. Image, same word. We've been made in the image of God because we have been made for God. And we find ourselves being so attached to the money that if the money is going to go to the system, we give ourselves to the system. We go wherever our money goes. And Jesus' answer is, if the people on the earth want your money, give it to them. Once you give it to them, you're paid up. You don't owe anybody anything. And you are now free to function in the love of Christ. To seek Him and to learn of Him and to serve Him. And so in Jesus' answer, it's the same as all of His answers and all of His teachings. Is that the physical realm doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, the physical realm is the realm that Satan holds people in bondage. The greatest bondage, according to Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says the love for money is the root of all evil. Money is the key. Money is the key to everything. Money is for my security. Money is for my future. Money is to get what I want. Of course, we need finances for different things. But we're hooked on the money and the love for it. Jesus is showing that we were not meant to be enslaved to earn money. We were not created to be enslaved to anything or anybody other than the Lord. That money and the physical things around us, we are stewards of that in service to Christ. We need to be sensitive to two things. Number one, make sure that the physical realm, the horizontal realm, doesn't interfere with my obedience to Christ. And secondly, that we serve the Lord with what we have. What we own, what we earn. We're stewards. So then the response of the people in verse 26, two things. First of all, they did not have the sufficiency, the strength, to catch him at his speech in front of the people. They were speechless. What are you going to say to an answer like that? We can't go back to the Roman government and say he spoke against the Roman government, because he's saying if the Roman government wants it, give it to them. No big deal. But if my heart is attached to that I'm giving to the Roman government, then I have a problem. Secondly, and having marveled over his answer, they became silent. He silenced them again. But we will see them continually come back to try to entrap him with questions, scriptural questions. Next week they're going to try to entrap him about marriage. And when we get to heaven, who's going to be husband and wife? The Lord's going to have some answers to that. As I said, his teaching and his answers are always the same. That man's problem is that they're too attached to this physical world. Whether it be a religious system, or whether it be physical and material goods or possessions. Jesus is constantly saying the physical things belong to the physical realm and the things of God belong to God. So when I put that bumper sticker on my car that says, I owe, so off to work I go. Who am I enslaved to and what am I enslaved to? Man is supposed to surrender his physical things to the physical realm, but he is supposed to surrender his soul to God. That's the answer to everything. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for the ministry of your Spirit through your Word and through the words of our Lord. As every time we're faced with your Word, we're faced with the same message. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. His attitude, his approach to this earthly life. We get so caught up and so involved, so possessive of the things that are ours, that we lose the message and lose sight of the truth of the spirit realm. We pray that by your Spirit you would help us to be sensitive to what we are enslaved to and who we serve. Help us to give back that which we have gained from the world, knowing that we can be enslaved to it. Help us to see that it's important no matter what we do, whether we're at home, whether we're at work, or whether we're at the store, or wherever we are, that we have a clear conscience, not attached to any physical, earthly movement that would distract us, but rather our focus would be on Christ, that we would be used by Him and His Spirit to minister and to glorify Jesus Christ. Again, by Your Spirit, we ask You to help us to understand these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.